Right, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark 4 with me this morning. And while you're doing that, I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And so thankful for men of God who train up their children the way they should go and that have them in church and are teaching them the Word of God and walking with them in that way. What an impact fathers have. An incredible impact, and so we want to just say thank you for them. We are in our study through the Gospel of Mark and continuing to listen as Jesus is now teaching through the means of using several parables. And you'll remember that he is shifting to parabolic teaching for the purpose of, or for two purposes. One, to conceal truth. Is concealing it from those who don't have ears to hear, who don't want to hear spiritual things, who have been there simply because they want to see the miracles, they want the free bread, they want the physical kingdom of God, and that's why they've come. And they've, in fact, not only have they rejected the spiritual kingdom, but they've rejected the king. They, in just prior to, in chapter 3, they had tried to silence Jesus. They tried to say that what he was doing was by the works of Beelzebub or Satan, and so there has been a rejection. So the parables conceal that truth. Those who don't want to know spiritual truth, they don't dig in and meditate and ponder on that truth. But the other side of the parables is to those who have ears to hear, it reveals truth. It gives them a greater depth and understanding of the spiritual kingdom that God is establishing. And you remember last week, we looked at the emphasis of these parables given in succession, and the emphasis is found for us in verse 11, where Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." The parables are here, they're given to relay for us the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's what this one here, the parable of the four soils, we see it then again in verse 26. The kingdom of God is as if. Then again in verse 30, what shall we liken the kingdom of God? And there is this explanation of the mystery of the kingdom of God, which is the establishment, as we defined last week, of a new spiritual kingdom of the Messiah, which had not been understood by the Jews. They didn't grasp that. They had been reading through the Old Testament and the scriptures that they had, and they were interpreting and seeing a Messiah who would come and set up a physical kingdom, who would rule and reign on the throne of David, and they were expecting that. But the passages that spoke about a Messiah that would suffer, the Isaiah 53s, the Psalm 22s, those passages of a suffering Messiah, the Psalm 118s, they didn't quite grasp that. How does that fit into the reality of a physical kingdom? And Jesus is explaining to them he's coming to set up a spiritual kingdom. He's coming to set up a kingdom for all who will repent of their sins and turn to Christ and be saved. And so the revelation of this kingdom is through the preaching of the gospel. This kingdom is not just for one demographic of people. This isn't just for Jews only. This is for Jews and Gentiles. It is for all nations, all peoples. That's why the New Testament starts out with John the Baptist proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so I have entitled this morning's message, a pretty lengthy title, "The Glory of God's Advancing Kingdom Through the Gospel." And that's what he is laying out for us in these parables this morning. Is there's a glory of God's kingdom, and it is advancing. It is progressing. It is growing. God is working and establishing greater and greater his kingdom of his followers. And it is advancing through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he is preaching, he is saying, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Who wants to know spiritual truth, that wants to understand that, all who want to receive the gospel and be a part of the kingdom, let them hear the truth and follow him. We see that illustrated actually for us well in John 10, as Jesus was preaching and he was talking and he gave the illustration of himself being the good shepherd. and his followers being the sheep in his fold. And he says this in John 10 and verses 3 and 4, the sheep hear his voice. They have ears to hear, they hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. There is an understanding, there's a desire for the king, for the shepherd, and it's an understanding that's grown through his voice. And then listen to what he says to the Jewish listeners down in verse 16 of John 10, where he says, and other sheep, which I have, were not of this fold. Who is the other sheep? It's the Gentiles. It's you and I who are not Jewish descendants. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, he says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. You see the emphasis he's making? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who wants to understand and understand the spiritual kingdom of the redeemed, those who recognize, well, we are separated from God because of our sins. And we want to be made right with him. We want to be cleansed from our sins. We want to walk with God, have that fellowship with God. But that can't be done on our own. But we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a hunger for that truth and a desire to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so his fold, his kingdom, is going to advance. And that's what I want us to see this morning. Because we might have come off of last week's message of the parable of the four soils and been kind of maybe possibly even a little bit discouraged. Man, it's only one out of the four are actually receiving it and hearing it and actually producing fruit. And Jesus then, goes from there and he launches into some continual parables talking about, don't be discouraged, the kingdom of God is advancing. It's going to advance in massive proportions, and we have seen that. Haven't we? We've seen God's kingdom advancing. You're here as a living testimony to God's kingdom is going to continue to multiply and advance. And it's happening today. And so he's going to give a parable about a light shining and more being given. He's going to give a parable about a seed that is sown, and out of that sprouts this entire plant that grows by itself. And lastly, he's going to give a parable about a tiny little mustard seed that when planted in the ground, this tiny mustard seed grows into a plant that can be up to 12 feet tall and 6 feet wide out of that little tiny seed. The kingdom of God is going to advance through the spread of the gospel. I was thinking about that this week and thinking about ways that we are seeing God's kingdom advance even here at First Baptist Church. We have seen God working in many ways. We've seen just this year 13 already be baptized. Several of them come to Christ this year. 19 join the church this year. And God's kingdom is advancing. We've been praying about and working on a project to establish and set up a ministry center, as we talked about down in Bellefonte. We've been praying about that, and even just a week ago, I had a conversation with the director from Pregnancy Resource Clinic, and one of the goals that we had was to establish in that ministry center to have a PRC staging point, that they would come one or two days a week here. They are very excited. Their board is talking about some things. We want to also establish a drug rehab center in this ministry center, and God is putting pieces of the puzzle and people in our place, and God is advancing. He is working in his kingdom there. We've seen members going into ministry over the last few years. A couple of our interns, we've had one intern that, Dan Goldsmith, who was at a stable job here in a corrections facility and felt called to take that and to go into ministry and is now in Missouri at Agape Boys Home. We have another one of our guys who was an intern and was discipled and grown here, is now an interim youth pastor at the Chinese Baptist Church in State College. That's Jacob Bogey. And he is now pursuing the ministry and getting involved there. We have another one of our guys that was an intern that is praying about and seeking to move into towards a full-time ministry as well. God is advancing his kingdom. We have soccer camp this week, and we have the largest number of young people coming to our camp that we've ever had before with an opportunity to share the gospel, to demonstrate to them the love of Christ from the church, and to see people come to know the Lord. We have missions that is advancing, supporting 23 missionaries and agencies with over 24% of our regular budget. We have a group going to Honduras this August, and we're distributing over 1,000 event tracks per quarter. We have puppet teams going out and doing ministry. We have kids and adult teaching areas. We have the zone outreaches. We have fair outreaches. We have 9 being discipled. God is working to advance his kingdom. And that's exciting to think about. That's exciting to be a part of. And I want to share those things because sometimes we just get going and we don't see the bigger picture of what God is doing. We do these ministries and we do outreaches and put resources into this and we support missions and we send men into ministry. Why? Because the kingdom of God is alive and we want more and more people to glorify the King. That's the goal. That's the goal of all of missions. That's the goal of all of our outreaches. That's the goal of everything, is that more and more people might bow the knee and recognize you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I want to follow you. That's a worthy goal, amen? That's something to be putting our prayers towards and our efforts towards and our ministry towards. And so it's exciting to see what God is doing. So the gospel is powerful, and God is working to advance his kingdom. And we need to have eyes to see it, ears to hear it, hands to serve, and feet to go. And so what I want to do now in this time as we look through these parables is you're going to see Jesus is going to talk about that this is what's going to happen. It is going to advance, and we need to be a part of that. So let's jump in the text this morning and hear more about that. Let's have a word of prayer before we do, and then we'll walk through these 3 different parables that he gives in succession. Father, we thank you for the wonderful blessing it is to have your word in our hands and to listen to that and ponder it, to meditate on your word. God, I pray that you continually would give us ears to hear it, hearts to desire and hunger it, and to obey it. And God, I pray that you'd give us clarity of understanding this morning. God, as we open our eyes to see you are a sovereign, powerful God, who is doing amazing things abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And even when we sometimes face challenges and even when we sometimes see things that are discouraging in our community or in our world, but to recognize that your kingdom is not going to fail. It is an advancing kingdom. And someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And someday, the King Jesus Christ will come back and rule and reign on this earth forever, and we'll be with him. God, we want to give you glory, and I pray that you'd be with our time this morning, that this would inspire and encourage your people, your church, your believers, the redeemed, that we might give you more glory and serve you with greater fervor every day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the first parable. Again, there's 3 of them. The first one is the illuminating light of the gospel. And again, this one, it really flows right behind the parable, the soils, talking about the reception of the gospel in hearts. And he said when he gave it in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're going to hear him say the same thing in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And so he's going to give it a parable about this, and then he's going to give some instruction to us regarding it. So that we notice, first of all, the illustration of Revelation in verses 21 to 23, where he says, and he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put on under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which would not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The picture that he gives, the illustration he's going to give, is that of an oil lamp. An oil lamp, here's a little one that I had gotten in Israel one time. It'd be usually much bigger than this, but you'd put oil inside of this, it'd have a wick that would come out, and you'd light that. And you would carry that lamp, and you'd set it on a lampstand or in a nook or a niche in a wall, and it would give light out into the room. But nobody took an oil lamp and would light that, and they would hide it. Oh, let's put it under a food basket in the kitchen, or let's put it underneath of a bed. That's ridiculous. And so as Jesus is teaching this, he's using just a clear, obvious illustration. It would be totally absurd to take that and hide it. You light a lamp to give out light and dispel the darkness. And so there was a very obvious conclusion that it's intended to be revealed and not be hidden. And then he follows here with that with verse 22, talking about hidden mystery being revealed. And I want you to underline four words in your Bible, because I want you to see how these fit together. I want you to underline the words hidden and then the words secret. And then underline the word revealed and the word light. So you're in verse 22, you see nothing hidden. Underline that. Revealed, secret, light. And what he is saying is that the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, that was a mystery that had been hard to understand from an Old Testament perspective, is now intended to be revealed, to be made known. That Jesus Christ is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist comes preparing the way, saying it is time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so it is now fully revealed to those who have ears to hear. So what he's saying is this. It isn't that we hear the gospel and it's just to be kept in just a few close people. No, he says, spread that news. Spread the news of the gospel all over. Now, the Bible refers to two things as light. The first is Jesus Christ himself. I am the light of the world. We read that in John chapter 1, and then later on in John as well. We read that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, that he has shined upon those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. And the other thing that the Bible uses to determine or as to calculate as light is the gospel, which is the light that is shining in our hearts that we have in these earthen vessels. The Bible uses that term in 2 Corinthians 4. The light of the gospel that shines in our hearts, which is found in the face of Jesus Christ. So the two are linked here. And so what he's saying is that the gospel is to be made manifest. It's that we spread that truth, that knowledge of what God has done and made available through Jesus Christ to everyone. This isn't something that's only veiled and made available to a select few. It isn't like, oh, we're going to let you in on the secret handshake, you know, and if you're in the group, we'll let you hear about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as you go and you spread the seed on these different soils, and you go and spread that, just like a light that is brought out, he says, I'm the light, the gospel is the light, I want you to spread that. It's not intended for that to be veiled anymore. Let that go. And so he is preaching to reveal the gospel. He's going to soon send out his apostles to reveal that gospel to just the Jews only. No. I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want this hidden mystery to now be dispelled and shown all over the world, he says. And so it's an inclusive gospel. Then he moves from there, and he not only gives the illustration of revelation, but then he says, secondly, of the instruction of reflection. So that's his desire, is that the light of the gospel made known about himself ought to be spread abroad. And he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. But then notice what he says in verse 24 and 25. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And so he adds this now. And again, I want you to underline a couple words that will help you see his point. It's a succession that's going to take place here. Underline the words in verse 24, hear. He says, take heed what you hear. Underline the word use. And underline the word more. You're going to see a succession that takes place. Hear it, use it, and more will be given to you. Okay, so that's given us the instruction of the reflection of this light. We're going to take it and not just say, well, great, I've got the light of the gospel. It's been given to me. Got my little light. But no. To take that and reflect it back out, to hear it, to use it, and more will be given. And so, notice it's an interesting, he begins with an interesting statement. He says, take heed. Take heed what you hear. The word there, take heed, in the Greek is blepo. It means to see, to watch, or to behold. In verse 12, we find it being translated see two times. So literally this is saying, be seeing what you are hearing. It's an interesting statement. Be seeing what you are hearing. In other words, perceive carefully spiritual truth. Don't just handle it flippantly. We shouldn't come and say, boy, that was great. I enjoy going to church. Now we can go do whatever we're going to do and leave that there. We shouldn't start our day out, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to get through two chapters, I'm going to check that off my thing, and now I can go about my day and never give any more thought to that. No, he says, be seeing what you are hearing. Listen to it. Ponder it. Apply it to your life and obey it. That's the idea there. Let's take it and let's make the Word of God active in our lives that it reflects it through our lives. And so to see this truth and use it. So we see then he's talking about be seeing what you are hearing. Then he says, with what same measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the same measure you use. He gives a further explanation that this hearing should translate or should transition to using. And as much as you use will be measured back to you. When it talks about the using there, it has the idea of possessing it and taking it and applying it to your life. The more you hunger for God's Word and you apply that to your life and you obey that, the more God's going to reveal to you. It's a growing process. He doesn't say, oh, you want to know all the mysteries of the Word of God? Okay, boom, here it is. It's a step by step. The more I meditate on and take this in on God's Word and apply it in my life. It's kind of like this. When we built our house in West Virginia, we contracted with a building supply company to provide the materials for the home. Now, what they didn't do was bring in two semi-truckloads and just deliver it all at one time. Here is your house materials. No, we first have them come in and we dig out the footers and we poured concrete. They delivered the block and we laid up the basement and then they put the sill plate on. Then they're going to bring us all of the 2x4s and all the wood for the walls and the plywood and the sheeting and all that stuff, and then the shingles. Then after that, they'd bring in all the siding, and it was piece by piece. And as we used and took what we had taken or what we were putting into practice, then the next delivery would come. It's the same idea. God says, I want to reveal more and more of myself to you. I want you to see my glory. I want you to know how much I love you. I want to know how much I can do through you. But do you want it? Are you willing to take what you know and apply it and obey it? For as much as you use will be measured out to you. He says, okay, you use that much? Okay, here's that much more. Here's that much more. Here's more opportunities. Here's more understanding of who I am. And you know what happens? Our God becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and we have opportunities to serve him more and more. And so he says, take this, see it, hear it, and then use it. And so sometimes I think, well, if I was someone like a D.L. Moody or a guy like Adoniram Judson or someone like that, well, then I would have great understanding. You know what? Those guys didn't start there. They start by taking what they've heard, apply it to their lives, and using it and growing. We would never send someone out into ministry if they aren't already applying and doing ministry here. Because it's the next step of, I've been doing it, I'm going to continue to do it elsewhere. I'm going to take that out. And so, this leads then to the more. It's the principle of reciprocity. We get out what we put in. Every time you receive God's word with eagerness and openness, God will give you more. And then in verse 25, he has a reiteration and a warning label kind of to it is added, where he says in verse 25, for whoever has, and the word there has, and later on the word have, is the word to possess with use. Whoever has it and they're using it would be a way to say that. More, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So he's saying, it's kind of like the use it or lose it principle. I want to reveal myself to you. I want you to understand these things. Use it or lose it. If you use it, I will give you more. So maybe another practical illustration would be that of building muscles. You build muscles by using them. You have to stretch them and really literally tear them, and they'll repair and get bigger. And the more you use your muscles, the more you get. But what happens if you stop going to the gym? You become flabby like Arnold Schwarzenegger is now. Because all of that has gone down to here, right? I have a friend of mine who's now in his 60s and runs a ministry elsewhere from here. And he used to do a lot of bodybuilding and a lot of weightlifting, and he was stacked. Well, he's now in his 60s, and he said to me one time when I was down ministering with him, he said, Greg, man, it is so much harder now to keep this here and not have it turn here. He said, man, I've got to work at it harder than I ever had to do before to work out those muscles. That's the idea there, that we've got to continue to use the Word of God, to not get complacent. Sometimes we can become so just used to it. I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go throughout my life. And he says, no, continue using that. Continue growing in it. And so what are you doing with the truth that you've been given? I'm not asking you about the truth that you're hoping to someday gain. What are you doing with the truth that you have right now? Are we applying it? Are we following him, desiring him? Are we obeying it as we live it in our lives? Are we sharing it with others? Are you exercising the faith that we say that we possess? That's the idea there of this illustration he's giving to us. He says, I want my light, the glory of the gospel, to go forward. And I want to reveal it through you. I want it to reflect through your lives. And the more you obey me, the more I'll give you opportunities to do so. Take it and use it. So he talks about the illuminating light of the gospel. The next parable he gives is the growing seed of the gospel, as we see it there for us in verses 26 to 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And so he builds on this using this revealed truth teaching, and now speaks about the growing nature of the seed of the gospel. As you spread it, it's going to do its thing. Now let me just quickly state, as some have misinterpreted this parable, that this is not an eschatological statement about Jesus Christ's return. That's not what this parable is about. Jesus is not away sleeping somewhere and going to awaken, and someday there's going to be a crop. And that's not what this parable is teaching. So what is it teaching? Well, it's talking about the spread of the gospel and the power of the gospel to do its thing, and it's not entirely up to you to transform and convert souls. We're just sowers. The seed is powerful in itself. There are things, I like the statement that it said here, he himself, talking about the farmer, does not know how. There's a lot of things that I look at in the world, I'm like, I have no idea how that works, right? I mean, I think about the fact that I can take up my cell phone and I can send a text wirelessly to Mark Collins in Shanghai, and instantly he has a text on his phone and he's texting me. How does that happen? I don't understand. It's over my pay grade. Somehow a wireless message is delivered through the air to some antenna. It's beamed to a satellite, beamed back to his phone, and then wirelessly to his phone in a matter of seconds or even less. That is amazing. I think of other things that just amaze me. I think of a child in the womb. This has always amazed me that they're there in the womb for 9 months and their lungs are not breathing or using oxygen. God has it made so that they are receiving and using oxygen from the mother but not using their lungs. And the baby is born and instantly they slap its bottom or whatever, the lungs fill up with air, no longer are they receiving oxygen from the mother, and now these lungs that have been sitting in fluid are now all of a sudden taking inhaling, exhaling air. How does that happen? God. There are things that I just fully can't comprehend. And he's talking about here another situation of how do you put this little tiny seed in the ground, and then you kind of just go your way and do your thing, and out of that comes a shoot, and then this stalk, and then the head of the grain, and out of that comes all this, all the grain of the corn is going to come on that. You ever look across a field, and you see 8-foot-tall cornfield stalks out there, and you think, how did that come out of the ground there? That's what he's talking about here. My kids, in one of their projects for school, is to take, I don't know if it's some sort of a bean. I'm not sure what kind of bean it is. I don't know if it's a lima bean or a pinto bean. I'm not sure. They take it, they moisten it, and put it inside a moistened paper towel and stick it in a Ziploc bag. And they stick it by the window. And it's amazing. You watch this thing start to open up, and the roots start to come down, and this thing start to come out of it. And this whole plant grows out of that. I'm thinking, where did that come from? It's not even in the soil. It's just in a paper towel. It's wet. And that's the idea here. This all happens, and he himself does not know how. And so with this, in this parable he's illustrating, is the power of the gospel. I have two sub-points that I want us to see. They kind of intertwine, so I'm going to put them both up and then just walk through the text. So the two sub-points is our responsibility and God's ability. Our responsibility and God's ability. So the sower here spreads the seed, which is the word of the gospel. And he goes his way. In fact, it says he scatters the seed in the ground, and then he goes and sleeps by night and rises by day. He goes and just does his thing. He's not there all day and night trying to feed that little seed. And no, he goes his way. He's put in the ground. He's done his thing. And it says, so it says he just waits until it's harvest time. And so we notice one element of our responsibility. Our responsibility is to sow the seed, to put out the word of the gospel to people, that they might hear it. And so we use different means. We use soccer camp. We use a tool of soccer to share the gospel with children and families. We use going on our medical trip down to Honduras, and we're going to use means of medical. We use internet and live streaming, and we use different means to spread the seed, and we should be creative, and we should be advancing that in as many ways as possible. We're to sow the seed. We're to do the best we can to get the seed in good soil, but then there's little we can do beyond that besides pray. Notice the farmer goes about his normal days of sleeping and rising up while he is doing that. The seed is sprouting and growing, and he doesn't know how. I was talking with Todd Woomer this past week after a funeral service, and I asked him, I said, did you get all your crops in the ground? He said, yeah, I got them in, finally. He said, of course, then it rained last week, 3 to 4 inches on Sunday, and I wonder if maybe I should have waited again. And he said, but it's in the ground. The seed's all in. We'll see what happens. Really, that's it. It's in the ground. We'll see what happens. It's not, you can't affect it from that point. It's going to do what it's going to do. And so the farmer goes about his normal days, and That's why 1 Corinthians 3 says that some sow and some water, but God who gives the increase. So sharing the gospel then is not a matter of manipulation, marketing, or managing. It's simply sowing God's word, spoken verbally, through lives living it out and demonstrating it, through giving out tracts, and it's powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. It's got all that it needs in that little seed. Our job is just to simply sow it out there. It reminds us that regeneration and conversion is a work of God, not man. Notice it says that the earth yields crops. And notice it says there in verse 28, by itself. The earth yields the crops by itself. The seed's growth is inherent in the seed. In fact, the word there that's used in the Greek is one that you'll recognize. It's automatos, from which we get our word automatically. Automatic. It just automatically does this. The seed will work. It's used one other time in the New Testament in Acts 12:10, when the prison gates were opened by themselves automatically. What he's saying is the seed is powerful. The seed is powerful. That's why I mentioned when we were looking at the parable of the soils, when the seed is spread on the hard ground, the first soil, that Satan is the birds depicted who will go and quickly take it up out of there. Why is he so fast to do that? Why does Satan hover around trying to pick up any of the seeds? Because he knows the power of the gospel. Like salt on a frozen sidewalk path, the seed will start to penetrate down in, even on hardened soil. And so Satan is saying, I don't want that to happen because the seed is powerful. I've got to remove the seed out of hearts as fast as I can. Listen, you are sowing seeds of the gospel, and it is powerful, and it will do the work. I like the way that Martin Luther, he used to say, he said, after I preach my sermon on Sunday, I return home, and I just let the gospel run its course. I've preached it out. I've done what I can do. The gospel has to run its course. Sometimes when you do it, you think, man, I don't know that I did that well. Or, you know, I go home and sometimes thinking, man, that flopped, or I didn't get that across the way I wanted to. I had a friend of mine 2 weeks ago, a pastor friend, he sent me a text and had one of those video things in the text. And he said, this is literally a video of me preaching today. And it was a goat with its tongue going, flop, 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 flop. And I knew exactly what he's talking about. Sometimes you think, man, all I did was just flap my gums today, and I have no idea whether I did anything. But then I remind myself, the power is not in my spoken word of my ability. The power is in God's ability to take his gospel, his word, penetrate hearts, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to make it change hearts. I go home and I say, okay, I did the best I could. And when you go out and you speak to people, you may sometimes talk to a neighbor or a coworker, and you think, man, I just didn't close the deal, you know? How come I couldn't get them to pray the prayer and trust Christ? It's not up to you. It's not a matter of manipulation. It's not a matter of marketing. It's not a matter of how can I get them to sign the back of this Bible, put their name on it, and say they did this thing. Let God and his word do the work in their hearts. You don't have to force people to trust Christ. Let them trust Christ. And so, I love what 1 Peter 1:23 says about the seed of the word of God. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That is powerful. And this takes patience. It takes faith. The farmer is sowing seeds with no guarantee of what the crop is going to be, right? There's a lot that is not dependent on him that he can't control. I think one of the most stressful vocations, because there's a lot that you cannot control, is that of farming. You can't control how much rain's going to come that season. You can't control how much bugs are going to come and try to eat up your crops that season. I was just talking with my brother last night, and they just got word that over in Tanzania, locusts have come in like swarms, like biblical times. And it is eating up everything. You can't control that. What a stressful time that would be. The farmer just puts it out there. It takes faith that, okay, God, I can't control this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful to try to reach out to people. But I'm asking for you to do the work in their hearts. God, would you take your word and would you multiply it? And the process is not instantaneous. First it says there's a little blade that comes up. Then the head. Then after the full grain in the head. And there's this, it's a slow process. But then in verse 29 it shows that sowing eventually leads to harvesting. Because when the seed takes root, there will be fruit. It will eventually lead to harvesting. And so if you're weary of sowing the seed and tired of all the weeds, then you might want to memorize Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, it hit me this past week. We were in our missions meeting on Tuesday night, and we were praying through our missionaries' needs and just talking about some of their needs. And it hit me the difference of the different fields. Some fields are more receptive and ready. Looking at the Hausers in the Philippines and reading through, and they're seeing a great harvest time. But then I think about the Hiremans faithfully giving out the Word of God in Ottawa to the immigrant Muslim people. Man, that's a tough field. And you read through their prayer and you realize, man, it has been hard. It's been challenging. But you know what? It's not about how good they can do it or how good of a preacher they are. It's the Word of God that has to do the work in the soils. That's why Hudson Taylor used to say there are three things that are needed, three character traits needed for a missionary: patience, patience, and patience. You just sow the seed. Let the Word of God do its thing. So our responsibility is to sow and to reap. And as John 4 says, it makes clear, as one sows, another reaps, and they rejoice together. There will be harvests. There will be that someday we're going to stand before the throne, and there'll be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. There will be people from Belfont who we have reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be people from Tanzania, from Shanghai, from South Africa. There will be people from this community, your neighbors, your friends, that because you faithfully sow the word will bring forth a harvest if we don't lose heart. He goes into one last parable here. We've seen the illuminating light of the gospel, the growing seed of the gospel, and then he goes into the last one, the expanding plant of the gospel. As he's talking about, I want this to spread out. I want this light to go forward. You take it, use it, spread it out. He talks about the power that it will then produce a fruit. He's going to now talk about how much, how big, how vast is it going to advance. And this final parable and this teaching makes perfect sense in this flow. And the point is, he says here, notice he says, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. The point is that this tiny seed start will lead to something proportionally, massively bigger. I don't know if you've ever looked at the size of a mustard seed. I'm told that it takes about 750 mustard seeds to make up a single gram. There are about 21,000 seeds in an ounce. They're small. In fact, it's the smallest seed that they used in biblical times here in Israel that they were using as a herb seed. And so it was often used as a parable, where he even talks about if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. It was used as an illustration of the tininess of it. And he talks about that this grain of mustard seed, when planted in the ground, which that seed is the gospel, is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins. that plant will continue to spread. It can reach heights of 12 foot high and 6 foot wide. And so he doesn't use an illustration of something that's like a mighty rushing torrent ocean or current coming through. He talks about just a little seed, and it will expand and grow over time. The encouragement was that from very small beginnings, the kingdom would eventually grow in size and in influence. Now think about that, what we've seen. Our Lord started with 12, sent them out as the apostles, the sent ones. That grew to 70. At Pentecost, there was 3,000, then 5,000. It was carried to other nations throughout the book of Acts. That number steadily increases. In spite of the sins and weaknesses of the church, the message has been carried to other nations. And one day, Revelations 5:9 says, there will be one day before the throne, those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It started from a little Nazareth town. And Jesus grabbing a few guys by the side of the Sea of Galilee, saying, come and follow me. I've got a seed that I want you to sow. I've got a message that I want you to get. The mystery of the kingdom of God. I'm going to advance a kingdom. I'm going to grow a kingdom that is beyond all proportions. It's not just going to be a kingdom on here in Israel. This is going to be a worldwide, eternal kingdom with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting on the throne. He says, that's going to advance. And nothing can stop that. And so when we go and we're a part of that advance, when we go and spread the gospel, when we tell people, we're a part of something that is massively bigger. In fact, he uses the statement at the end there where he talks about that even the birds of the air may nest under its shade. There is a question about what those birds are, what that's referring to. It's possibly speaking of the nations, as the messianic passage of Ezekiel 17 talks about the nations as the birds come under the shade there. This is a all nations, all inclusive thing. The kingdom is not a physical, geographical boundaries or areas, but it's an eternal, inclusive kingdom to all who will hear and receive by faith. And so when we take the message of the kingdom through the gospel, throughout the world, we see that it's spreading. And has been spreading in immense proportions. It is going forth. And so when we are doing events like soccer camp, missions, a ministry center in Bellefonte, telling and inviting our neighbors and friends, handing out event tracts, etc., you're part of a vast spiritual kingdom that's eternal. What a thing to invest in. Human kingdoms will pass away. Our lifespan is only 70 to 100 years. Human political kingdoms eventually fall. The great Roman Empire lasted 800 years, but eventually declined and fell. Germany's Third Reich was to last 1,000 years, but it fell and didn't last for 15. Human kingdoms decay. You can travel over to Egypt, and you can see the great pyramids, the great Sphinx, this powerful kingdom that was there for a time, a monument to the kingdoms that they believed would endure forever. But they fell and did not last. But when we think about this kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom of God is moving. And the glory of God's advancing kingdom through the gospel is happening. And he wants it to happen through us. Do you have ears to hear? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who wants to be a part of that, who wants to know, who want more, hear it. Use it, and more will be given. And God will take that. God will take what you use. He'll take whether he uses you here or around the world. He'll take the little seeds that you sow in people's lives, and he will advance his kingdom for his glory. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much that it is your power, your strength, and your ability that does the work. God, we do have a responsibility to share, to sow seeds, and we want to be faithful to that. We want to be used of you in those ways. And God, we are so thankful, though, that there is power in that seed. And so, God, as we go forward, as we advance that seed to our own children, as we advance that seed to those from Bellefonte who will be coming for soccer camp, as we advance that seed through missions, Father, I pray that we would see great rewards, great fruit from the harvest. Give us a desire to hear and to know and to pursue you. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand this truth, and a hunger to apply it and obey it in our lives. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we think about